And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the pure in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the pure in heart, and I'm glad that we can have that purity in Jesus today. They shall be called the children of God. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. I'm going to ask you to pray for my wife. She had a terrible fall. Remember, I had a fall a week before last. I said to her yesterday, let's crawl and don't fall. That didn't do any good. But anyway, she fell a very serious fall on Thursday. She had 11 stitches put in her arm, and her face is all bruised up and parts of her body. But she's tough. As the doctor was sewing up the arm, he looked at her and said, you're a tough lady. Kept on doing her business, and then she looked up at her again and said, you're a very tough lady. Then she looked at me. She said, she's a tough lady. I said, you don't have to tell me. I've been living with her for 70 years. I know how tough she is. But pray for her. She wanted to be here today, of course, as I did last Sunday, but sometimes you can't do it. Well, let's go immediately. Open your Bible. By the way, you know what happens when you open your Bible. So open it to John's Gospel, chapter 17. The Gospel of John is commonly called the Theological Gospel. John is called John the Theologian. He was one of the three of the closest circle with Jesus. He gives us father-son relationship in his gospel that we don't have in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. And he takes us into the heavens right from the very start in his first chapter. In the beginning was the Word. But here in the 17th chapter, we see more how John is the theologian as he records the prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus was at his best, if I could say this, in the 17th chapter in his prayer for us. And I hope that it'll be a blessing to you. I'm going to read John chapter 17, all 24 verses. So I hope you'll pay close attention. I hope that you'll listen very carefully and very prayerfully as I'm reading 26 verses. But I want to read these all 26 verses very carefully and very prayerfully. And I think one of the most important things in any service is the reading of God's Word. I hope you will listen prayerfully as I read. And I'm going to take a seat before I read. They're going to come and help me out with this little stand here, and then I'll be ready to start reading. Thank you, sir. That looks like about right. All right, if you're ready, I'm ready. Let's look at it. John chapter 17, verse 1, and I'm going to pray first and then I'll read. Father, we thank you for your blessings of this hour and this day. And I pray with the reading of your word that we might be encouraged, enlightened, instructed to know more about Jesus and his love and concern for us and his love for his Father. And I pray these things will be written in heaven. In Jesus' name, with thanksgiving, we pray. Amen. Verse 1. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. What a wonderful chapter that is. Wouldn't you say that's probably the greatest, one of the greatest chapters? I have read to you the high priest's mediatorial intercessory prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is truly the Lord's Prayer. Now we know there's a segment in the Bible, and I refer to Matthew chapter 6 at this point, verses 9 through 3, where the model prayer, the prayer that our Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray, that is not the Lord's Prayer. That's the prayer that he taught his disciples to pray. This, John 17, high priestly, mediatorial, intercessory prayer, is the prayer of Jesus. Listen to the prayer that he taught his disciples to pray from Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through verse 13. Here's what Jesus said in teaching his disciples. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So may it be. Now, the high priestly prayer that Jesus prayed in John 17, it could be only prayed by Jesus himself. He is our high priest. Remember what Paul wrote in Hebrews 4 at verse 15. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into heaven, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He's our high priest. And in this John 17, this high priestly prayer, he sets forth two relationships. Number one, his relationship to God, his Father. And number two, his relationship to us, his disciples. Now, we weren't living back in those days when this was prayed, but it's all prayed for us. We're his disciples. He said, I pray for those, not only for these that are around me immediately, but for those who will believe because of their word. You know, every one of us today, ladies and gentlemen, we've everyone been saved because somebody passed down the gospel. Right from the mouths of the apostles, right on through the Roman Empire, right on through the world, and right to where we are as I speak this morning. So we're included in this. I've titled this, The Greatest Prayer Ever Prayed. Martin Luther, the great reformer, said, Christians should read this prayer every day. And if you will pardon the indulgence, for a number of years now, I have read John 17 every day. And I think it's so important that we understand this relationship and what Jesus is praying for. There are seven petitions in this prayer that our Lord prayed to his Father for us. And we'll look at these seven, and hopefully we'll get through them. If we don't, I'm going to teach again on the 27th. So I'll finish it up then. But I'll do my best today. Seven petitions. Number one, he prayed for our salvation. Aren't you glad you're saved today? And by the way, none of us would be saved if Jesus hadn't prayed for our salvation. Look again with me at verses 2 and 3. Jesus, praying to his Father, said, As thou hast given him, that is himself, Jesus, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give, now here it is, eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Ladies and gentlemen, there's only one God. Allah is not our God. Mohammed is not our Savior. Jesus is our Savior. And the Almighty One is our God. And he said of himself, I am God, beside me there is none other. You say, but that seems a little narrow-minded, doesn't it? Certainly does. And I'm glad it does, because I'm narrow-minded. And when it comes to these things, you ought to be narrow-minded too. There's either one God or there are many gods. I believe there's one God and one Lord Jesus Christ, his Son and our Savior. He prayed that we might have salvation. And what is that? It's life eternal. Now, what is life eternal? The word eternal there doesn't refer to endurance so much as it does the quality, the life of God himself. Listen, the moment you were saved and your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you had the life of God infused in you from Jesus by the Holy Spirit, and we are taught it in the Word of God. Now, you couldn't beat that, could you? God's life in us, infused by Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit and recorded in his word. He prayed for our salvation, the life of God. Now, in answer to Jesus' prayer, God's life becomes our life. And you know, we don't have to buy this. It's already been bought. We don't have to pay for this. It's already been paid for. It's free. It comes to my mind, the little course that we have. I learned it in 1950 when I was a student at the Bible Baptist Seminary in downtown Fort Worth. Dr. Louis Insmina, the greatest Sunday school authority on the planet during the 20th century, taught us this little course. And we began the Norris Bible Baptist Seminary, which carries on what was begun in 1939 by Dr. Norris and Louis Insmina. Same philosophy, same curriculum. We're teaching what they taught back in those days when I was a student. I was just a kid. I was a smart aleck too, and my wife says I still am. I'll never forget the First Baptist Church Auditorium at a division back there, like where Paco and his wife are sitting, and some of you, yeah. And so there was a wide space there, and I always sat right on the end of that pew where you were on, Paco, right on the end of that pew. And all the students that could get in the choir, and that was about 300 that the choir would seat, we all sang in the choir every Sunday night. Can you imagine me singing in the choir? Well, Charles Stanley and I used to sing in the assembly at the high school. Should I tell you what we used to sing? Two preacher boys, cigarettes and whiskey, and wild, wild women. They'll drive you crazy. They'll drive you out of your mind. But anyway, we didn't sing that in the Norris Chapel. But Insmina taught us to sing, I'm glad salvation's free. I'm glad salvation's free. Salvation is free for you and me. I'm glad salvation. It's free. Now, it's free to us. It wasn't free to God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to do what? To die on the cross, to shed his blood, to take your sins and mine in his body and bear them in his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. What a wonderful Savior. I'm glad salvation's free. Jesus prayed for our salvation. I see the second petition. He prayed for our security. Aren't you glad we don't have to hold on, you know? Don't let God go. God's not going anywhere. He's holding on to you. There's a story about in one of the denominations where they believe in losing their salvation. The one guy was praying at the altar, and somebody came by and prayed for him and said, hold on, brother, hold on. Next guy came by and said, turn loose, brother, turn loose. Well, he didn't know whether to hold on or turn loose. But I'm telling you, God is doing the holding on. We are trusting him, believing him, committing our lives not only for time, but for eternity. We are eternally saved, everlastingly saved, eternal, everlasting salvation. Verses 11 and 12. Now, I'm not going to take time. I don't have to read all these verses again, but you can mark them and read them again when you get home. Verses 11 and 12, he prayed for our security, that God, listen, his Father, might keep us. And the only reason we're kept is because we're kept by the grace of God. Not anything that we can do, not anything we have done, but only because of the marvelous grace of God, we're saved forever. You remember what Jesus said in John chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. We are in the hand of Jesus. Jesus is in the hand of God. And listen, if the devil ever got to us, he'd have to pry open the fingers of God and then pry open the fingers of Jesus to get to us. And I just don't believe he can do it. We are saved and safe forever. Once in Christ forever. Nothing from his love my soul shall sever. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep or the wild stormy deep. In Jesus, I'm safe evermore. Remember what Paul said? I think he climbed the summit of New Testament revelation in Romans chapter 8, where he said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or nakedness or famine or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm so glad today that we don't have to worry about losing our salvation. I'm so glad that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And the devil can't break that seal and get to us until he goes through the Holy Spirit and through Jesus and to the Father. That cannot be done. I'm happy that we're saved forever. The third petition, he prayed for our satisfaction. That's found in verse 13 where he talks about that his joy would be fulfilled in us. The joy, can you imagine? The joy of Jesus Christ, our Savior, the sovereign, sufficient, saving one, is in us. We, listen, Christians should be the most joyful, the happiest, most contented people on earth today. Just think what we have in Christ. We have our salvation. He prayed for it. We have our security. He prayed for it. We have satisfaction. He prayed for that. God answers his prayer. Now, listen, if God did not answer the prayer of Jesus, the whole system of our Christianity would just be blown away. But God answered the prayers of Jesus and put the joy of salvation in our hearts. And that's something you might have disturbed once in a while. Remember David prayed? David did not pray, Lord, save me. No, because he's already saved. But he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. If we allow the things of the world to come into our hearts and minds with the wrong thought processes, the wrong behavior, the wrong actions, the wrong reactions, we will lose the joy of our salvation. We'll not lose our salvation. because we're saved forever. Petition number four. Jesus prayed for our separation. That's in verses 14 through 16. And he prays that we would be kept from this world system. Ladies and gentlemen, this world system in which we live is no friend to grace, no friend to God. This culture, listen folks, this culture in which we live is anti-God, it's anti-Christ, it's anti-Bible, it's anti-church, it's anti-Christian. The culture of this world. And may I say it, the educational system in our world, the public education, is totally contaminated with the culture of this world. I don't blame any parent for homeschooling their children. I thought about it as those two precious little Prescott girls stood there on that platform and sang. Isn't it good that they're singing the songs of the faith instead of the rock and roll and all of the things that brings evil thoughts into the minds of little children? And folks, it's not beginning in college. It's not beginning in high school. It's not beginning in grade school. It's beginning in the kindergarten and toddlers. I'm reading a book right now by Dr. Luttrell, who is former pastor of the Moody Church, and he's uncovering all of this. The name of that book is, you ought to get it, We Will Not Be Silent. I hope you'll get it. Erwin Lutzer, We Will Not Be Silent. I'm reading it every night. I'm so shocked. And he's documented everything that he said of what's happening to our children in the public school systems of America. Now, I know there's some exceptions, folks. I understand that. But generally speaking, the culture of the world has invaded, and in many cases, the churches and the schools have invited it. That's sad enough, but that's true. Read this book. I can't tell you all of it. But honestly, it's showing us we should be kept from this world system, from its culture. John, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. John wrote, love not the world. That is the world system. Love not this world system. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For he that loveth the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, I said a while ago, is anti-God. All that's in the world is corrupt, evil, impure. Don't let it get into your home and your family. It's coming through the internet, folks. Be careful. Don't shove the grandchildren. I know most of you don't have small children, but you have grandchildren, perhaps. Or you can teach your children to teach their children. Don't shove them off in the bedroom and let the internet be their teacher. Or the television. Sad. It's so sad. Thank God for Christian parents. Jesus said, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. For if you're of the world would love his own, but you're not of the world. For I've chosen you out of the world. Therefore, let the world not be in you, is what Jesus, what John is saying altogether. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, very important verses, Paul says, wherefore come out from among them. Now, who can't understand that statement? Come out from among them. And be ye separate, saith the Lord. Come out from among them, be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my children. I will receive you and be a father unto you, and ye shall be my children. I'll be your father, you'll be my children. What a relationship that is. God is our father. We are his children. And listen, children ought to have some resemblance to their father. Are you listening? As Christians, we should look somewhat like God. We should behave like God. And we should be separate from this world system. Now the fifth petition is sanctification. This is verses 17 and through 19. That word sanctification, a lot of people are afraid of that word. It simply means to be set apart for a special or particular use. In the sense of it, for us, we're set apart for use for God. We have a purpose. Listen, God has a plan, a purpose, a pattern, and a prescription for every life in this room. And we ought to fit into God's plan and not try to get God to fit into our plan. His plan is for us to live righteously, godly, in this present world. Jesus sets us apart for use by Him. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? Don't you know that, he's saying, Paul is saying? Your body, God lives in your body in the person of the Holy Spirit, and that makes it a temple of God, which is in you, which you have of God. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Well, my time is gone. I'll give you the other two just briefly. Number six is solidarity. He prays for our solidarity. Verses 20 through 22. One with Christ, one for Christ, one in Christ. And then number seven, he prays for our settlement. Verse 24. Father, I will that those also whom thou hast given me will be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. He promised in John chapter 14 that he would come, rapture us, take us to heaven, and that's our settlement for eternity. We used to sing a little song, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world. By the way, if you can feel at home in this world system, you have a real spiritual problem. Did you hear me? If you can feel at home in this world culture in which we live, you have a real spiritual problem. And if I could get down off the platform, I'd meet you at the altar when invitation time comes. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for your blessings today. Thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the prayer of our Lord Jesus. And we pray that we would take to heart these things right out of this chapter and right out of the lips of the Lord Jesus himself. In his name I pray, and with thanksgiving, amen.